Sorry. Now we're good.
Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. Compliance with open meeting law.
Yes.
And I need approval of the agenda if there's no questions.
So moved, is Brendan?
Second.
Get motion being second, approval of agenda, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, need approval of minutes if it's okay with everybody.
I'll make motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion being second, approval of minutes, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, public comments slash communication.
All right, we have a new member today, so I want to introduce her. She's a new member, but she's a former member too, so she's been on in the past. Mary Lou Bausch is here. She's a Lancaster resident. Do you want to tell a little bit about yourself?
I was department head of physical therapy in the rehab department, retired in 2010. So now we just travel and see the grandkids and the grandkids around. And I got a daughter with her family living in New Hampshire. And my son, who just moved out to North Carolina. So we got to try to get out there. But my son living with his children in Fenimore. So. But, and my husband, we were part owners with Finney and Home for quite a few years till recently. So, and we lived just down at the bottom of the hill, our land joints right there. So that's about it, I guess.
And she's always been a good supporter of the ADRC, and everything that we do. So we appreciate you coming back on for us. Happy to have you. And just feel free to ask questions as we go. We're pretty informal, you know that, so from the past. So the only other thing I had under public comments communication was as I'm sure many of you know from the news accounts, Platteville is ending their bus service to the public. So we have been fielding a fair amount of calls on that. People are concerned. So I think it is something we'll probably need to talk about in the future. People are looking for taxi vouchers. Taxi vouchers was kind of a goal I put into the regional coordination plan. We've talked about it. We haven't implemented it because I was concerned about the cost and how we would fund it exactly. And now I'm even more concerned about the cost if we do it. It is something that Crawford does, but they just limit the amount of funds to it. So I think I'm going to take a look at transportation in the future. Our programs have all gotten better since the pandemic. We were looking at the time during the pandemic, you know, we had maybe a little bit more flexibility in the transportation budget, but we still have some with specialized because the wheelchair van can be kind of what we want it to be. So I do think it is something that we may at least have to put on our radar for 2026. If
Laura, just on.
Yes, Kathy.
They're not ending it.
Right.
They cut it back.
No, yes.
Be doing one route.
As I understand it, that's mainly the campus route.
Yeah,
correct?
And
the orange route is what.
But the background of it, just so that people don't come away thinking that, oh, Platteville's, you know, pulling the plug on everything. The original contract we had was with the university, and the university paid a majority of that bus.
Right.
The maintenance of that. And they couldn't afford to do it anymore. So the city had to cut back for what our budget allocated and came down to that one route, which still works for most of the streets. So.
Right. Does that route still go out to like the shopping area? You know?
I don't have that.
I couldn't see when I looked.
It's more of a full route, but not all the little individual.
Well, we did hear from the city. We actually got forward an email from Howard. Is it Crowfoot? From a concerned parent about a rider, and I won't go into that. That's neither here nor there. But Howard had forwarded it to us, asking if we could be of any help. to this person, and I had responded and said, well, yes, that would be, you know, thank you, you know, I'm thankful for them to give us, to give them our number. However, we don't provide any daily service there. We do provide some bus service there. And I'm sure that Mariah and I, in turn, knowing how that's going to go, we'll be looking at some bus routes in the future too, mm-hmm. and how to kind of meet those needs. But we don't, we wouldn't have anything daily. This person was looking more for like a employment. And obviously we don't have that capacity either. So, but we have, I have fielded a few phone calls. We've heard a few things. Taxi vouchers keep coming up. The other day, we heard that somebody referred them to that. So I contacted, I think it was Southwest Cap. So I contacted them and said, no, we don't have that in place at this time. It might be something that we are considering. It certainly was a goal that I was kind of looking, you know, considering at one time anyway. The only problem with that is then that whole program is really just specific to Platteville and not the county. So, so you have your, you know, you have your things on that. I mean, obviously we run a taxi in Lancaster, Boston, Fenimore. So, so I just wanted to make you all aware of it. You might hear some things, especially board supervisors might hear some things too. I do think we'll, I do think there'll be more pressure on us, to get people where they need to go. So we'll see how that plays out. And obviously, again, we'll look at our bus service and see what we can't do. But I think we'll just have to look at that in terms of overall of our transportation services in the future. As I do think it is unfortunate. And I think with the, we, and the reason I talked about the taxi subsidy program a few years ago was when they raised their prices, we were getting so many phone calls on that. So now we've kind of got, you know, the prices went up and people felt they were somewhat unaffordable. And now with the bus service, and the bus service was a little more affordable. So, and I, from what I understand, wasn't always, I think the problem with the bus service, I know they had made some comments that it wasn't utilized as well. And I think for seniors and disabled, again, that bus stop thing was a little harder for people when you don't have, you know, the demand. But that is, I just wanted to make you aware, and you probably, this might be on a future agenda. So any other comments on it? Yeah, Nate?
The appointment.
What's that?
Board, the reappointment of Vicki.
Oh.
So you,
yes.
Are, you actually, your term actually expired in,
yes.
September.
And I forgot.
Oh.
So,
Courtney and I missed that.
Here. Yeah. So, we will reappoint you in January. When you
if you're willing.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not surprised I missed it. I'm a little surprised Courtney missed it. She's usually my, she's usually my, her and Mariah are my two, you got to do this, people. Oh, all right, perfect.
Advocacy reports or activities?
The only activities we had in the last month, we did a Mind Over Matter. It was it's a bladder and ball workshop over in Montfort that went over very well. Green County, their Green County Prevention Coordinator collaborated with Iowa County and us to put that on. And since it was successful, we're going to look at some more collaborations this coming year for prevention. Prevention is one of our most difficult things to provide right now because it's, there's no money hardly attached to it, and it always takes trained facilitators, and we just don't have any of that staff time. Problem is, if you allocate staff time, you lose the Medicaid time reporting, and that's where we get our grant funds from. So it's kind of it doesn't make us money like the others do. So we have to be careful with that. But Greene County still has a dedicated prevention person, so we're going to use them as much as we can. Anybody want to talk about the board report, regional board?
I'll say something. State Representative Todd Nowak from Dodgeville has been named a citizen member from Iowa County to the regional
board, and I think that's going to be a plus. He's worked with Mary Mesra, district manager or district supervisor, over the years for advocacy at the state as far as funding and whatever. So I think that's going to be a big plus.
Yeah. Todd's very much interested in, I know, dementia services and things like that. He's always been a big supporter of that at various meetings that I've been on. So, yeah.
He asked a lot of good questions at the meeting regarding funding, if it's from the federal or from the state, and if it's from the state, if there's a way that it can be speeded up through the process to get where it's supposed to. So I think that's a big plus.
I don't have anything else.
Okay, number 7, MCO contract for home delivered meals update.
All right, that was just an update. You guys, way back in whenever the last time we met, whenever that was, I don't even, October maybe, you had directed us to, you know, go ahead with Inclusa if they accepted the meal cost toll January 1st, but with the exception for the waitlist procedure. They did finally get back to me. They've accepted the meal cost January 1st, and well, the waitlist procedure is not in the contract. I asked about that. They said they actually can't put it in the contract, but they have it in their notes. So I guess if that works for them, it will work for us. What I would like to say in that, they've gotten very, I think, controlling on their prices. They only kind of want to revisit that once a year, and I don't think that's appropriate given the fact that this year we'll have food contracts, new food contracts starting, and I think we need to revisit it again, possibly in July or August after our food contracts come back. We only have 5 inclusive members right now on meals. In total, for family care, we've only got 13 family care members on. We looked back, and I think back in just a couple of years ago, I have that here, we had 31.
I was going to say, I think it was 30.
Yeah. We had 31. So they have, the family care has been aggressively taking people off, and we continue to have, you know, some issues with that. So I think we've got to look at that. I talked to Richland County and I talked to Green County, and both of them said yes, they were going to continue to contract for now, but both are sort of on the edge about where that contracting is going to be, because they are also noticing a decline in that. So I think we'll revisit it in July, and I think there's no reason that we have to, they say, no, we're not going to increase your price, and we're like, okay, I just don't see a point in that. Because as I've said in the past, that meal cost tool that we do, that's done on 23 expenses for 24. So it doesn't really, it's never a current price. We have to be careful because it's, you know, they're using Medicaid funds, so we don't want to, you know, we don't want to inflate it too much, because that's not, we don't want to get in trouble with that. But I do think we just need to watch it. So that is the update on that. So we will continue with that for now. But you'll probably, depending on how those contracts come back, I think we'll look at that.
Okay. On the screen, criteria for home delivered.
So the screening criteria, and I've talked about this for a few times, and we are actually, the state has been kind of working on procedures. So mostly I just want to make you aware of it, because the state and GWAR have kind of finally taken a position on it. It's been something I've been pushing on for several years. Again, we have people calling for meals who are on a family care program, such as Inclusa, such as My Choice, such as, you know, it's usually not an IRIS program. IRIS has their kind of, they do their own sort of budgeting. So it's not usually a problem with them. It's usually an Inclusa member or a My Choice member. And they will call and say they want meals, but they're on a family care program that's not authorizing them meals. In some cases, we've had participants telling us that they were told to call the ADRC from their care managers. Now, I can't prove that, to call and just private pay meals. Well, private pay to them is the suggested donation cost, which is not what a private pay means. Private pay is actually full cost, which in 24 will be $15.55. So it's been an issue. It's been an issue that all ADRCs and meal programs have been dealing with for several years. And it always ends up making kind of ADRCs be the bad guy. And we are all a bunch of, you know, social workers who don't like to be the bad person and tell people no. But they have come out with more screening criteria that says that if they're on a family care program, they have supports in place. So we need to, again, refer them back to their care manager and ask their care manager to authorize meals. GWAR takes it a little further and wants us to make that call, and I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think we can tell them, you know, they're on a family support program. They need to be talking to them about their nutritional needs. And then at that point, if they're saying, well, I've asked and they don't want to give that to me, then we can provide them with some ombudsman information so that they can actually get somebody advocating on their side to help them through that process. It should be out of ours. But here's where it comes into play. We enroll people into long-term care. So most of these people we've already interacted with because we are the entryway into long-term care. So with many of these people, they've been in our office, they know our staff, they know how helpful we are. We've probably got them on, you know, enrolled them in inclusive or enrolled them in whatever, in my choice. So they look to us for help when they're not getting that. They also really don't understand that there's a disconnect between ADRC and say inclusive. They just know that I come here, I get on programs and this, you know, helps me. So it's hard on us. It's hard on my staff, I think, because we're used to having to go the extra mile anyway, but we also can't keep up, you know, we can't afford to subsidize people that are also receiving programs and need to get it from there. We've had a situation where somebody was not getting the meals that they thought they were supposed to be getting from an inclusa. And the take on that, the language came out, well, she can make herself a fried egg sandwich and she can, you know, and a personal care worker can come in and make her a sandwich and make her soup. And that's, and unfortunately right now under those family care rules, that's good enough. So I've gotten a little more vocal. I know it's a surprise. In pushing back and ADPAW, which is the Aging and Disability Professionals in Wisconsin, have also been getting a little more vocal that family care organizations need to meet the same standards that we do to provide meals, that maybe they should also be meeting one third of the daily needs of the people they serve versus a Friday sandwich is okay. Now, I laugh because, you know, Friday sandwich is probably okay for me, but but I really do think, you know, we've really struggled with this over the years because we've had them take off 90-year-old people that are on meals. Now, we didn't take them off. They did. Because often what happens is they start to improve a little bit when they're on our meals. And then when they improve a little bit, they sometimes then take them off. That's on them. That's not on us. But guess who feels bad about it? When that 90-year-old person's calling in. So right now, the screening criteria we're using based on GWAR's technical assistance is that we will ask them at the time of that initial assessment if they're on a family care program. If they are on a family care program, at that point, we're sending them back to that family care program. And if they need help with that, if they're not sure of that process, we can give them some information on that. There's always an appeal process. And then we can, as I said, we can give them the ombudsman. The way GWAR has this worded, I think it's a little heavy-handed on aging staff responsibilities. Again, We spend a lot of time on this, time that our staff don't have, because it's not our responsibility once they're in a family care program. And I don't want that to sound cold, but that's just the reality of it. Once they're enrolled, our line of, you know, work ends. So I just wanted to make you aware of it, because again, you may hear, we've already had, I had a health department call me, probably a month and a half ago, and say, is it true that ADRC won't provide meals anymore, that they won't provide meals to family care participants, because that's what they're hearing. So I said, well, that's not really, that's not really what's happening. I'm like, family care doesn't want to pay for our meals for some people, and then we come out being the bad guy in that whole scenario. Because again, they don't know. So public perception is that we're not doing it. So I want to make you aware of it, but I truly think we can't. Again, we shouldn't be subsidizing a, you know, a program that's already getting Medicaid funds to provide services. So any questions on that? Any thoughts on that? I don't think it needs approval. It's the guidance that's coming out from the state. So I just want, but I do want to make you aware of it in case somebody says something to you about it. So, okay.
Okay. Wisconsin DOT compliance site review.
Yes. So about every 4 or 5 years, WISDOT does a compliance site review. They typically do it for our 5310 program, which we have one vehicle. That's usually a grant source that we use to purchase vehicles with. And that requires a compliance site review. And then our 5311 program, which is our federal transit program, the taxi also requires one. Because the 5311 workbook is much more intense than the 5310, they nicely say we don't have to do both workbooks, that if we pass the 5311, they consider it good for 5310. When they came 5 years ago, they only thought they were coming from 5310, if you recall, Mariah. And then they said, oh, you have 5311? Well, we have a whole different workbook for that. And we did it that day on site with not sight unseen. So this was a little nicer to have it up front. But it didn't go without its moments. So we had it scheduled for Monday, last Monday. And we got in Monday morning, and so I thought about it all weekend, and we got in here Monday morning, and I had Patrick, the finance director, here, and they rescheduled it for Friday the 13th. They had gotten the workbook late, and then they hadn't had a chance to review it all. And so it was like, great. And they had some people that they wanted on the 13th that they didn't have at the beginning of the week. And then those same people weren't on Friday anyway. It was the same people we had Monday. So it was, that was interesting. But it went really well. It went fine. Patrick was our new finance department director was there. And they ask a lot on that. So, but mostly... we'll have just a few things. Some of them will be for Nate and Bob, things that the county they would like to see in the procurement policy, a protest policy. I don't know what that is. He said he'd send me a template, and there's some tech evaluation methodology, and I don't really know what that is either. He said he'd send me a template. And then under the financial procedures, he thinks we will need a cost allowability determination section. So I'm sure Patrick will work with me in making you aware of that. They will be sending back the compliance review improvement plan. Usually that's back within a couple of weeks. So I'm expecting it probably shortly after Christmas, and then we'll work on that. The only really other thing that we had, and we knew it, and I think we had it, and I think it just got taken off in a revision of our brochure, was we have to have reasonable accommodations on our brochure. And I am almost positive that we had that. So I have a feeling maybe a text when we redid the brochure a few years ago. Maybe it got a text box got over it or something. So that's an easy fix. We'll make sure that's on there. But those were the main things. We do have Title VI and drug workplace policy that will be updated. They didn't review those because both of those are being updated for 2025. So we will be working directly with that DOT coordinator on that to make sure ours are in compliance. So we didn't even look at that. But overall, it's a lot of work. It takes a long time. You have to upload everything under the sun, and it's a long process. And although this time it wasn't on site, it was done over Zoom, so that was kind of nice. But it went well, so I'm not expecting too much to come from it, other than a few things that the board will probably have to deal with, or Nate will have to deal with. I apologize. I don't quite know. I'm so used to the board, and so I'm not used to as much as Nate. So so it'll probably be Nate dealing with it.
So did they? You said 5 years. Did they talk about the building? Because that was kind of a DOT trust.
They did not, because it was out of the trust, and they don't monitor out of the trust.
I just had to ask the question.
Yep. Nope, that was the first thing I thought too, because I thought, oh, there's going to be a whole section of facilities. Okay. But nope, that came out of the trust.
Okay.
So we didn't have to. They look at the trust as just county money, essentially. So yeah, it kind of surprised me. So literally our 5310 vehicle is the taxi vehicle. And so it was those two. So we did have to send off what oil changes for the last 2 years. So Mariah, we just did that this week. They asked for that. I think that was the only extra thing they asked for. I think there was anything else. So that went well. And I was happy with it. I'm glad it's over. All right.
Okay. I need an approval of vouchers if there is no questions.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's not been on here before, but I didn't see it. But what are the blackouts?
I just got that question yesterday. That's the caregiver, the services we do for caregivers. So we don't identify.
We don't disclose that.
We don't disclose that at a public meeting. So, yes. We see them and, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. We actually had that come up when we didn't do it. And then we had somebody ask, and if somebody would ask a question about it and it's a public meeting, then we just, you know, we just think it's a little more confidential.
The trips mileage.
What's that?
Trips mileage.
Trips mileage is our volunteers. So those are actually volunteers that we provide stipends to. So that is why you see the names on that.
So some of them are pretty high. I mean, they're doing a lot of trips.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, some of those people just basically
go back and forth to Madison.
Yes.
It's like.
Yes.
And it is, that's all they get paid is the stipend and
mileage,
right? They don't get any compensation other than.
If they're away for so many hours, we will give them a small stipend for lunch too. Because I mean, they're spending. Yeah, but there's no paid time. No.
No,
their time is totally donated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can argue that with the IRS.
No.
Yeah.
No, I. And our volunteers.
Any other questions on that? That we will need an approval on, Gary.
Yep. Wait for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made. Second. Approval of vouchers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Okay. Financial report.
All right. I did look at this, and I know you got a lot of sheets on that. Karen, I think, just printed out in everything. So you've got your, I think, the board, the report that everybody gets, and then I think she also printed you out the expense and the revenue ones separately, because those are the ones that I prefer. So I prefer to look at revenue and expense separately because I like to look to see how we're on track, you know, within the year. And we're doing okay right now. I'm looking at service management is a little higher than I'd like, and I'm pretty sure that's probably on me because it's majority of my salaries, and I think maybe I've gotten a little lazier into other munis to just hit service management. When it's home delivered meals or congregate meals, I can charge it to either one. So I am going to go back and look at that yet this week to see if I need to adjust my hours in there. But we've also, with Elder Fest and things like that, we've had some other expenses, but I'm just going to go back and make sure that my hours are in there correctly, because that's where I think it probably is. Service management is mostly admin hours, so it's my hours, Courtney's hours, Karen's hours, and a little bit of Mariah. Congregate, we're at 98%. So again, we're a little bit there, but home delivered, we're actually looking pretty good. So again, we kind of never know how that's going to play out. We've had a few more people back to congregate than we expected. I do think we're not going to see the revenue, though, that we probably budgeted for. I think our revenue is down a little bit, and I think it's probably just at that it's been kind of a rough couple of years for people in terms of prices, and that usually gets reflected back in our donations. So I'm hoping that won't be the case, but I kind of suspect that it might. So public awareness is our prevention fund, so you'll be seeing that have a little bit more expenses in it. And then benefit specialist, I thought was looking pretty good. Bus was looking good. The wheelchair van, which is the special, is budgeted less, but that I budget that a little higher because we just don't know how many. That's totally on just how many rides people want in a year, and that can vary. So again, that's the one that I would tend to look at in terms of if we wanted to look at a taxi subsidy, we'd probably lower that a little bit maybe and do it out of there for the future. I know there's been some talk that sometimes I think Patrick was one of them maybe mentioned it, that there's a possibility, just possibility of doing budget amendments. So that, I guess that would be, if that would ever occur, that might be an area where we'd look at one, but I don't think it'd probably occur in 2025. But Taxi, we've probably got a little bit higher there because we've had to pull in some subs. And then trips, I think we're pretty close on schedule too. Family caregiver, we do look like we're overspent there a little bit, but if you'll recall, we had that ARPA money sitting there that we decided we'd use this year too if we had the request for it. So we did. So that actually has a revenue source for it because we have that ARPA money that goes till the end of next year. So just make you aware of that. And if you have a question, just ask. I'm just kind of going through it fast, but I'll be happy to slow down and ask a question if you see something. And
page 13, that one caregiver was 1,349% over. That one.
Yep.
That one grabbed me.
Yes, and that's the other expense. So some of those other expenses we have, we might have some adaptive equipment come out of there. The other expense I think that's also in there that's quite high is an overnight that we paid for at a nursing home. So that was a respite overnight, and Courtney categorized it there as versus professional services. So that's why that looks high. But again, we had the ARPA money that we hadn't weren't dipping into, so and that's going to have to be spent, so we should be on track for that. And then ADRC is looking good too. We're amazingly, which is probably why my wages are mostly in service management. So I think that's on me. I'll double check that, and if I need to do a journal entry, I will. Usually I watch that a little closer and do that sooner, but it's been a really hectic fall for us. So so any questions on any of that? Again, I am a little concerned about revenue for nutrition. coming in, but we can't ask, you know, we can't tell people what they need to donate, and they don't have to donate at all if they don't want to, so. And, any questions? If not, I would
need approval on that. Need a motion and second on that. Approve the financial report.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Second.
I'll second.
Motion made and second to approval of the financial report. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, report.
I don't know if I've got reports in here. Am I not seeing mine? Do you see mine?
Yeah,
well, I don't know where mine is, but there it is. She does have it. Sorry. We don't have program reports up to date yet. We've had the new database that was implemented in November that's been going over very well. Just go in and ask my stressed out staff how well that database is going. They are figuring it out, but they have unfortunately been figuring it out on their own a little bit more than so far the training has been less than we would like, but we're.
Who created that?
It is a purchase product. So it was already in place, I think, and used by agent programs nationally. So the state actually purchased it with this way to configure it to meet their needs. But that has, you know.
Are they lacking in support though?
I think they're lacking in knowledge. I think they're lacking in knowledge of what some of our staff really do and how it gets done and how it looks and all of it. So I'm a little leery that it might affect our time reporting for the future, because eventually they're going to report their time on that for time reporting. And that's, you know, we get Medicaid reimbursement for our time reporting for our ADRC program. So I'm a little leery about that, but I guess we'll see. But they have been figuring it out. When they first rolled stuff out, it was very much, oh, we haven't done that yet. And it's like, number one, it's Medicare open enrollment season when they roll, they, you know, that's October to December, and they rolled it out November 6th. So the whole timing of it was interesting. And there was very much like, you know, like a month later, I went on a call, and somebody said, well, I'm going to go back and review the webinars. And the IT person said, well, I wouldn't do that. They're really kind of, that's going to be kind of out of date anyway now. And I'm like, well, that's all we got. You know, you don't have much, but they are getting more and more in writing now. So they're getting the manual. And I just said to one of my staff yesterday, because she just came back, and I said, you just need to look at the manual. I wouldn't waste your time on the webinars, because it's all changed. So. But it's been very, very interesting at a very busy time for our staff. That, I think, was the worst part of it, is just the fall for ADRCs is incredibly busy. So the timing of it was, but they're working through it. They were nice enough to do a training yesterday specifically with our staff. Mary got requested it, and we actually had the IT person from the state and another quality specialist on. So that was actually kind of nice, and I think helped them a little bit. I went in last week. I had to figure out how to do rosters, because I submitted a claim form for GWAR, and we didn't have any nutrition data in it, because I can't teach Karen how to do it until I know how to do it, and I hadn't had time to do it. So before the finance department from GWAR called me and said, you know, Lori, you have to actually have your claims match up to the database. I got that in there. And I actually thought that was going to be harder than it was, but I got them in. So, yeah, it's just been, we've just felt a little piled on lately. So, but we're doing the best we can. So it's been kind of crazy. And we have all the end of year reports. We've had this going on. We did do some interviews for a food van driver. We hired a food van driver in Boscobel to replace Jerry. So that's good. And we've got two subs coming in on Friday, which will help. It'll help make Courtney not have to drive a food van today, hopefully. But actually, we had two backups for that one, and they both were unavailable. So that's kind of how it's been
going. We have a sub today.
Yeah. Yes. Today she's meal site manager. So that's just kind of our life right now. But I can't run reports, program reports, because we don't know how to get that information out very well yet. So that will be the goal for over the Christmas break, is trying to figure out all of that as well. We did get one van out of the Nutrition X-Time Foundation grant. We'll be getting another one ordered probably the first of next week. We had a little snag because we needed to partition the things that we are carrying are heavy. And Travis from the Sheriff's Department was super nice and was working with me and trying to help me come up with something. And he's found out he may have a problem in the future with vans, because they're not making these partitions or whatever they're called for the Pacificas. And that's about all you can get for a van right now is a Pacifica. So Travis and Rich worked together, found something that would work, and Rich actually fabricated a partition for us. Rich is from the maintenance department. So between the sheriff's department, the ARC, and the maintenance department, we've got that one done and worked out. And Rich actually did a really nice job. So it's not as pretty, but it'll work. It'll keep our driver safe, and that's the main thing. So now that we know that, I said to Travis, can you hunt up another one for me? If I buy another van, because I was debating whether I should buy a different vehicle, but he said, yeah, I thought Rich could come up with another one. So I'm going to confirm that with Rich before I order the next van. So then we'll have both vans ready to go. So that was great. I don't think it's in here, but we also had a nutrition on site that we don't have any, we don't have the actual review topics back yet. But that also went very good. One of the main things discussed, and I brought it up to you before, is the full-time director waiver that we now have to fill out. I do think there's going to be more pressure for that position to be full-time. It is currently not full-time even between Courtney and I. So I will fill out the waiver. I did check it the other day to see if it required any board action. It does not, but we do have to explain how we're meeting all the criteria for now. The issue with that is with 8 meal sites and different staffing issues, Courtney spends a fair amount of time having to be out in the field just to cover stuff. So right now I think they'll approve the waiver, but and then the other thing we need to get up and running is the Nutrition Council. So that will be back after the pandemic. That was suspended for a while. So she actually has plans to start that back up in January. So I think she's got people on board for that. So and then the surveys went out. That was just the other thing, but she already had those ready to go. So the nutrition surveys went out in December. So you'll be seeing those in a couple months. We actually went back to some of our older questions, as the state didn't ask those questions last year, and about, you know, their ability to get a meal if we don't provide them one and things like that. So we asked a few of those questions. So we'll share those with you when we get them. So other than that, we are just busy, busy, busy.
Hey. Okay, I need a motion to adjourn. If that's all the business, I'll hold a second.
Second.
Motion made. Second to adjourn.
Stay here. Who did the second? Okay, yes. Thank you.
Close.
I mean, we can sit and chat. I'm good for that.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Do you still have the AGS?